Okay. We're going to talk about overcoming the enemy, overcoming Satan. And this is an interesting one. This is about, I'm going to discuss my strategy to overcome a lawsuit. And you'll find that it teaches across the board on your life. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we invite you in this room right now to flow through me and through this word and just bring great seed into our hearts to grow into great trees of understanding and revelation, that we can have miracles and power and overcoming in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Why don't we go to 1 John 4.
You want me to get my Bible?
That'd be good. Okay. We're going to go through about 10 or 15 scriptures. And you'll like it. What's important here is to understand is, you know what? This page we're going to study off of? 1 John 4. This page I'm sharing with you in my notes is from March 16th, 2011. And this wasn't a teaching. My wife and I sat down and we looked up scriptures to take on a fight in the flesh and in the spirit, a fight in the spirit against something coming in the flesh. And these are the scriptures we recorded that we were going to stand on and believe and get our miracle from. And what happened is, I've been a real estate broker for 30-some years, and I also was a mortgage broker, and you all know about the bad times from 2006 when everything collapsed, and the bankers got put in a very bad light, as did the stock market, as did the lenders and the mortgage lenders and the mortgage brokers. And so this lady fell on hard times after I made her loan in 2006. And in 2010, she sued me as her mortgage broker. I was an afterthought. She sued the lender because I was just the broker. I was just the guy that originated it. I wasn't involved anymore. My name wasn't on anything anymore. But she sued the lender and she sued the title company. She sued five different companies. And then I was kind of like, oh yeah, let's add him. So they added me because I was the originator. So, and it's bad because they want someone to buy him a house. You know, she lost the house to foreclosure. So anyway, it was kind of sad because I did a good job for these people. Her and her boyfriend, I got them into the house and everyone else in town denied them. And we got them one of those what you call stated income loans where they stay what they earn and we submit that to the lender. And that's totally legal. That was a type of loan recognized all around the country at that time. Anyway, she got foreclosed on, and her and her boyfriend actually sued to try to stop the foreclosure, and it didn't get stopped. In fact, it was put in the state court. And then the attorneys for all the other companies approached me and they said, we'd like to move to the federal court, but we need you to join us. So I joined them and I signed a form and the whole suit got moved to the federal court. And then they proceeded to all file dismissals for their firms, but no one filed one for me. So they said, you got to go get a lawyer. We're not helping you. And so the judge dismissed one by one all the other firms but me, even though I was an afterthought. And so, and it's a huge amount of money if I lose. So I had to go get a lawyer, and I've put out $3,000 or $4,000 already. And I really didn't do anything wrong, except we brokers were on the news and we looked bad publicly, so there's that bleeding heart in the courts for because they watched the news, you know what I mean? And so, yes, this lady could have been damaged. Well, she didn't really tell them that she's a credit abuser herself, and she didn't tell them that they bought too much and wanted too much, and I couldn't talk them out of it, and I tried to talk them into a lower house and a lower price. She also didn't tell them that she had a boyfriend that I used his income, except at the last minute we didn't put him on the loan, so they're trying to tell the court that I gave her a loan by herself when she only makes like $2,900 a month and her house payment's $3,600 a month, okay? So the truth is she wasn't alone. In fact, the money, he put all the down payment down to the tune of $22,000. So morally, I knew I had a couple. They were engaged. They were begging me to do the loan. It was their dream house. And the money, even some of the money even came out of a house I sold for him. Well, in their court complaint, they acted like I had just met them, solicited them to do their loan, and then they didn't mention his name at all. You see, so it's like I gave her too much of a loan, and it was irresponsible, supposedly, and fraud, supposedly. And so anyway, I'm just telling you that I felt like I was somewhat falsely accused. In retrospect, I would have skipped that loan, except I made $4,000 or $5,000 doing the loan. But in looking back, I spent so much money on lawyers and stuff. Well, the loan is still in progress, or the lawsuit's still in progress, but she had this attorney just was after my blood. He's writing up stuff all the time, new motions, and now I just got a notice. I hadn't heard anything for 6 months, and I just got a notice yesterday that she got rid of her attorney, and she's now taking on her own case. And so that's a good sign to me, that I'm progressing, because he and I stood before the judge last November or December, and he said, "Your Honor, I need some time off because I need some surgeries and I'm not well." It's just a young guy, you know, like in his late 30s or 40s. And I couldn't help but think, yeah, keep coming after me and you'll find out. And I don't mean to be smug about it, you know, but if God's people know how to use the Word of God and protect themselves with it, and it's bad. It is really bad on people that will not, that keep persisting. Now I feel like the poor gal, she's put herself in the direct line of fire against me. Now there's no buffering attorney. It's like, I hope it all goes well for her, you know, and I'll pray for her and I forgive her. You know, but let's talk about this for a minute. Remember Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, and his job is to persecute and put to death Christians. And he actually was there at the stoning of Stephen, holding the coats. His name was Saul, and he was a Pharisee and a scribe, a well-educated Jew. And he hated Christianity. He hated Christ, whoever that was. He never met him. And so here he is holding the coats for these people stoning Stephen. So that blood is on his hands, you know. So here he is on his way to Damascus, and he's on a road going to Damascus. And he's got letters that will actually condemn some Christians to death in Damascus. Jesus appears to him on that road in a bright, shining, flashing light. I picture him on a horse. He kind of gets knocked off the horse. He's actually blinded by the light. He gets blind, literally blind. And the first thing out of his mouth, he must have seen something, because the very before he went blind, because the first thing out of his mouth is, "Who are you, Lord?"
Who are you,
Lord? This is a guy that doesn't believe, but he's saying, "Who are you, Lord?" So all of a sudden, there's this immediate humbling, and Jesus says, and I'm quoting the Old King James Version of the Bible, Jesus says, "I'm Jesus who you are persecuting." And it's like, oh, I thought I was persecuting Christians, you know. But Jesus says, I am Jesus who you are persecuting. And Jesus, and so Jesus is identifying with Christians. So guess what? This lady that's suing me is suing Jesus, because I identify with him in this lawsuit. You see? And I've actually been sued before, because I am a businessman, and I took God to court with me, and it's like I won so hands down, and I totally expect to win hands down, because the words that I read to you and we read together tonight in the Word, I believe these words more than I believe the lawsuit. You understand? I don't believe in the lawsuit. I believe, in fact, I have a wife of faith, and before we even wrote out all these words, she said that God told her to blow in prayer. God told her to blow on the lawsuit and see it disappear, kind of like dust or the chaff of wheat, you know, just. So every time her and I pray together, and when we're dead praying about this, we always go like that. And but anyway, so Jesus says to Paul, he says, you know, Paul, Saul, it is not wise to kick against the goats. What does that mean? That's old King James English. It's not wise to get impaled on the spikes. Christians have this hedge out there of spikes, you know, in the spirit realm. That's why more demons don't mess with you than they do. Is because when they, people or demons, come against a Christian, they can get in serious trouble. When I first started working at VOA here, I had some guys behind that desk that were on my case about Christianity all night long. And they weren't very nice. And God just kept telling me, love them, love them, love them, forgive them. And guess what? When the first layoffs come, they laid them off and not me. But I had been praying, Lord, you're going to have to take care of me and justify me here and make me the prevailing person here. And that's exactly what he did. You know, so I've seen this in operation. I've seen what I'm showing you in operation probably 30 or 40 times. So this lawsuit is really just like dust to be blown away in my mind. But it's neat to have an example that I can share with you. We saw this work on the head of a organization this spring. Robert, you know what I'm talking about. Changed his heart. Because, and you know, you can't really do wrong, like go kill somebody and then stand on these scriptures. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm talking, yes, you could, okay, let's say this. God isn't messed up as the American law is. Okay? God is more just than the American law. You know, you can do wrong and get God's forgiveness. And he says, your sins I'll remember no more. But then it's really up to him whether you're going to have to pay man's price and pay the penalty, or he's going to get you free and off. You know what it's like to get off by God's power, right? So what I'm saying is that, yeah, I don't want to discourage anyone that's guilty of something, that's facing legal issues, that may be listening to this, because I know that's none of you. No, I'm kidding. I don't want to discourage anyone that's guilty of anything, because go after and ask Jesus to cleanse you and forgive you by the blood, by his blood. Once God forgets it, you might get your file misplaced by angels. You might get a lenient judge. I was actually in a courtroom once, and I was praying for somebody, and it wasn't me, it was somebody else was on trial, and the judge was going to sentence them that day. And I sat there way up high in this courtroom, and I'm praying, and I felt like Jesus spoke to my heart. And I felt like he showed me he was in the courtroom about 10 feet above the judge, just under the ceiling, kind of floating there. And I said, I said, oh, great, wonderful. Because Jesus knows how to touch men's hearts. And he can speak to people when they don't know they're being spoken to by him. He can put ideas in people's heads. Angels can do that too. And the devil can do that too. And demons can do that too. They can all speak to you and tell you, you're going to die. You're going to die. See, the devil's trying to speak fear to you, or a demon would try to speak fear to you. And you go, no, I'm a child of God. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live. I'm going to live. God is in me and God is with me. And I'm not going to die. Shut up, devil. Shut up, Satan. Shut up, demon. And you know what? When you take the negative information from Satan, that's fear. And if you act on the fear, that's a sin. If you believe it and act on it, you're committing a sin. Fear is sin. It's also an emotion, but it goes beyond emotion and it becomes spiritual. Fear does. And so when you hear good information, like I'm giving you tonight, and I'm just telling you, the good information is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He's with you. He's inside of you if you've received Him and you're born again. He loves you. He'll protect you. He'll be like He was to Saul and protect you and identify with you if someone is coming against you, you know. So when you receive the good information, which is of the Word of God, and act on the good information, that's faith. See, when you act on negative information from the devil or from man, that's fear. When you act on good information coming from from God or His Bible, His Word, or a man of God like me, or a verse or something, then that's faith. That's faith. But you have to act to make it faith or to make it fear. If you don't act, it's just theory, you know? So you kind of have to act on something for it to become faith. But anyway, so Jesus is saying to Saul, it's not wise to impale yourself on these spikes that are around these Christians. Who do you think sent Jesus there? Do you think he just came on his own? Here's a good question. Who sent Jesus on that road to Damascus to Saul? Huh? No, he was an unbeliever. He was hating God. He had nothing to do with God.
I think it was Christians that were praying for him.
Right. Very good. The Christians of Damascus, because he was on his way there to put him to death. So they were probably had a prayer meeting. Said, Jesus, if you're going to do anything, it's got to be now, because he's on his way. And Jesus appears to him, and he goes blind for 3 days. And some guy had to come and lay his hands on his eyes so he could see again. And I honestly believe that that was his night of his death. If he hadn't said, who are you, Lord? If he had been rebellious and stiff-necked and stubborn, I believe that was probably the night of his death for putting Christians to death. See, so God is active. God doesn't really kill people, but this is what I was just telling someone last night. They're standing there talking to me. God doesn't really kill people today in this covenant. God says all God has to do, there is so much evil in this world, invisible evil, that if God pulls His protection off of you for 10 minutes, you would probably be dead in 10 minutes. That's how much evil there is around us. And so,
1 second.
Huh?
1 second.
Yeah, you probably couldn't. I don't know. But God keeps, He even does that for the unbelievers. The Bible says He causes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust. He causes us to be able to take our next breath. He causes us our heart to beat the next moment. You know? And it's like we get a lot from God every moment. He drops dew all night on nature. He opens flowers in the morning, you know. The sun comes up for you. And the sun comes up and preaches the sun, preaches Jesus, resurrection, because the sun rises, resurrects every morning, you know. And so let's look at this. Verse 1 John 4. verse 4, and I'll read this. It says, 1 John, not the Gospel of John, we're in the back of the Bible. You are of God, little children. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Okay, back to verse 4 for a minute. Look at that with me. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now we have to figure out who them is. So the way to figure out who them is to go see what the context is here. What's the conversation? Go back to 4, verse 1. It says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Okay, this just covers all the devil's troops, demons, fallen angels, Satan himself, the Antichrist, evil people, people speaking against you, people speaking your demise, people bringing you down, ragging on you. You know, you have overcome them. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. You know what? One man and God on the earth is a majority. If there's 10,000 people ready to take you out, if God is with you and you're all by yourself, you can win. You can overcome them. It says in Psalms 91, though 1,000 fall at my left and at my right, I will have no fear, because evil won't come near me. And you know what? In the last times, if you study Revelations, all the countries in the earth are going to be amassed with their tanks and their weaponry against Israel on its northern borders. That's what it says in Revelations and the book of Daniel. And it says, and there's going to be two different battles. There's going to be one earlier, and Israel's going to win it in the power of God. But there's going to be a second battle, and this time more countries come. See, they're going to be, supposedly Russia and China are going to come against them. And they're going to beat them, if you can believe that. In God, they're going to beat them. I don't know if it's nuclear, or I don't know what it is. Blood's going to be very high, the Bible says. But guess what? Later, all the countries come. Everyone amasses and gets ready to attack Israel. And now the forces are so powerful and so big, there's absolutely no hope, and Israel's surrounded on every side. We know right now already that Israel has no neighboring country that likes it. There's not, it's landlocked in there on all four sides, and there's not, every country considers Israel their enemy and would like to see them wiped out. Okay? So, Israel is going to be totally at a loss. Hi, John.
Sorry.
Israel is going to be totally at a loss and totally incapable of protecting herself on this second huge thing. And guess what? Right at the last moment when these nations are starting to fire on Israel, Jesus is going to appear. And the Bible says he's going to have a flaming sword is going to be coming out of his mouth. And it says that he's going to set his foot down on the Mount of Olives, and that mountain is going to split in two. Guess what? Some scientists were studying that mountain a few years ago, and they found out that there's a fault line, right, an earthquake fault line that's going right across the tip top of that mountain. So his coming is just going to like set that off. And that's interesting when scripture matches science sometimes. And so he's going to slay. That means he's going to slay all the wicked against Israel with his mouth. Just his mouth. Just his words. He's just going to say some words and they're going to all be destroyed. So it says, you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than greater he than he that is in the world. Now, remember when we read Mark 11 in here and we studied Mark 11 about speaking to the mountain? And we said, and Jesus was telling his followers how to have faith in God. And Jesus says, have faith in God. For if you should say to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe what you say, shall come to pass, you will have anything you say. So, when I go to fight my lawsuit, guess what I do? I'm like Jesus. The flaming sword is coming out of my mouth. I'm speaking these scriptures. I'm speaking, no, Satan, you can't have my money. You can't get a judgment on me. You know? Okay, go to Isaiah 54. Isaiah 54. Verse 14, it says, in righteousness you shall be established, you shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Indeed, they shall surely assemble, but not because of me. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, who brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. Verse 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord. So, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you, isn't that what a judge is going to... If I were to lose the lawsuit, wouldn't he be speaking a judgment? Yeah, he would be speaking a judgment against me. But the Bible says, every tongue which rises against me in judgment, I shall condemn. I can have miracle-working power flowing off of me. It can be flowing off of me in the direction of the court building where the judge is. I can pray and I can send 1,000 angels over to the court building. See, I can send the angels. I can pray the angels go somewhere. There's plenty of angels for in heaven. They come, when you pray them somewhere, they come flowing out of heaven through openings called portals. And it says right in Hebrews 1 that there are angels. They're made for us. They're made for the heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1, they're made for the heirs of salvation. Well, they're not made for God. Let me ask you something. Did God ever need an angel to create the world?
No.
Yeah, it says he created it with his words, and everything just formed as he spoke. I believe he made the angels before he made man, and he made the angels to be ready to take care of man, but they won't do anything for man unless man's using his faith. In other words, how would you like it if your angels just crossed their arms and just stand around you all day and watch you get beat up? Because we don't use our faith, you know? So God is telling us here, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You don't know how many times I've said that out loud. I spoke it out into the atmosphere. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. One time my nephew had a girlfriend and he dumped her. That's not a nice word, but he did it. And this was high school, and she had a relative that was like a biker. This guy had bragged that he'd killed a lot of people and stuff. So he showed up at the high school, and he said, "I'm going to kill you," to my nephew. My nephew's a great big kid, but he was only like a junior in high school. And so this biker says, I'm going to kill you. And he says, "Tonight, your house, 10 o'clock, I'll be there." I thought, what a stupid thing to say. But anyway, my nephew was scared and he called me. So I was praying about it, you know. And I was, I prayed all day, just thinking about it. And I thought, he's just terrorizing my nephew. So I was getting ready to go over there that night. I had a meeting somewhere in that end of town. I was going to swing by there at about 10, my nephew's house. He didn't have a father. My brothers and I were his father figures, and my sister was widowed. Her husband was killed. So anyway, as I was leaving my house, I have this carved out piece of oak. It's pretty big, a little smaller on one end, goes bigger. It's a Buford Pusser's club. That's the guy from Walking Tall. And I looked at that and I started to grab it, and I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, "No, just take your Bible." So I said, "Oh, okay." Whack. So I got there about 10 to 10 and I knock on the door. I could have messed with his mind, huh? I knocked on the door, and my sister and him and his little brother are all sitting on the couch. And he says, "Who is it?" I said, "It's Uncle Greg." So they opened the door, they pulled me in, they slammed the door shut, lock, lock, lock. And then I sit down with them, and they are all worked up. They're so scared. Of course, 10 o'clock came, nothing happened. 10 after 10 comes. And then finally, I look at him and I said, "You know, this isn't good. You guys are afraid and the guy's just messing with you. He was terrorizing you." I said, "Let's pray about this guy. And by the way, would you like to receive Jesus?" And because my nephew had never received Jesus. And so he said, "Yes, I'll receive Jesus." And so he received Christ. And then I said, "I'd like you to repeat a scripture after me." And he says, "Okay, I will." And I said, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind." I said, "Repeat that." He goes, "Okay, say it again." And I said, "God hasn't given us a spirit of fear." And he says out loud, "God hasn't given me a spirit of fear." All of a sudden he jumped up. He had to run to the kitchen sink because he had to vomit. And he was vomiting fear. It was just manifesting. Something was manifesting out of him, see? And after he did, he was totally at peace. He was totally at peace. And guess what? He never heard from that guy again. It was all dropped right there. So there's a lot of supernatural ability that we can have when we have problems like this. Isaiah 41. By the way, I don't really have a lawyer, even though I spent lawyer's fees. I subcontract out a lawyer, not using his firm. I signed an agreement with him that he has no malpractice if he screws up on me, but he charges me a lower rate. And so I'm representing myself. I'm a self-represented person. It just like the other person is now. And the thing is I call Jesus my lawyer. Did you know that the Bible calls Jesus an advocate, which means lawyer? It calls him a mediator, which is a lawyer. In several places of the Bible, it calls him counselor, which means lawyer. So Jesus is a good lawyer. He's really good. I never tell you what happened in that courtroom that day when Jesus was above. See, I got on a side trip and I lost the train of thought. And none of you steered me back. Thank you very much. But watch this. Jesus was above that guy that day, and he's supposed to get 5 years. I'm not kidding. I was in court praying for this guy that day. And the judge says, I'm going to let you off with probation to him. And interestingly, the guy before him, the judge let him off too. He says, I don't know why I'm being so lenient today. But remember, Jesus had just told me about 20, 30 minutes before, he was going to be in the courtroom taking care of the proceedings. So Jesus decided to have mercy and goodness on some other guy I didn't even know. Isn't that interesting? So, Isaiah 41, verse 11. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who war against you shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Wow, that is so powerful. I had this actually happen to a friend of mine who's in real estate and a Christian. And he had someone sue him. And about 4 years later, it was going to all be finalized. Except one problem. They couldn't find the plaintiff. He kind of like slipped off the face of the earth. You know? So that's what it said right there. They shall seek them and not find them. Again, Lord have mercy on this poor woman that's trying to sue me. Lord have mercy on her. You know, my wife and I were in a big ministry, and God spoke to each of us about marrying. We were not dating. We were just brother and sister in the Lord. It was a marriage ministry. We weren't supposed to really marry in that ministry. We weren't supposed to date people in the ministry we were in. You know, I was a national director of this ministry. And God spoke to us about resigning from this ministry and just marrying each other. We each had a divorce in our past, okay? This was 1987. There were people in this ministry that this highly angered, okay? They were furious. They're telling all kinds of lies about us, like, we were fooling around all the while we were in the ministry, you know, and we invited. So, you know, her and I pray together. We always have, even before we decided to marry each other. We're a powerful couple, you know. I don't say that arrogantly. I say, in Jesus, we're a powerful couple. If we weren't in Jesus, we would be a little bit in the flesh. But in spiritual things, we're powerful, see. So we invited all these people that were talking about us. We invited them to the wedding. One of them actually mailed me back the invitation cut in little pieces. It was all stuffed in an envelope. I opened the envelope. I poured it out. No piece was bigger than like a quarter inch. You know? And that was pure hatred. You know? By the way, that we married in 87. That lady didn't even live 3 or 4 years. In fact, most of those people that were involved in that are all passed away. Well, I hate to say that, but look what it says. Look what it says in 11. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. Okay. It's like, you know what? I said one man and God is a majority on the earth. You can be really dangerous walking around as a Christian. And people think you're weak because you might not hit them back if they hit you or something. You know what? People can think you're weak. There's something in the Bible called meekness. It says Moses was the meekest man that ever lived. But don't get the words wrong. Meekness is not weakness. Okay? Remember the 10 plagues? Moses did those. God performed those through Moses. God told Moses that he would be a god unto Pharaoh. That's what God told Moses. You should be as a god unto Pharaoh. That's what he said. And it's like Moses, all Moses did was depend on God. All Moses did was say, ha, ha, ha. You're going to have to deal with my dad, my big brother. You know, the guy in the burning bush. The guy who writes commandments with his finger in stone. You're going to have to deal with him. And it's like, that's the way I feel. You know, a person can come against me, but I'm going to love them back. And God says, if I will... God says in... Well, we might as well go there. Romans 12. We should go there. You know, the Bible says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Satan is scary, but it's a much more terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Fortunately, none of you will have to do that, because you all know Christ in here. You know what I mean? The blood of Christ is your ticket out of falling, to not having to fall into the hands of the living God. Okay, look what this says. In Romans 12, verse... You know what? This used to be my favorite scripture for a while. Because, you know, I've told this story in here. I lost a marriage. I had a wife betray me, run off with a guy. He was a friend of ours. Him and his wife were friends of ours. Okay? And you know what? God got a hold of me. God said, just bless them. Well, it didn't go well for them. It went really bad. But it's like, I had to meditate this verse every day. Look at what it says. Romans 12, 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. I have seen God repay people. God is not mean. And God is not bad. And God does not kill people. But if God just takes His protection off of people, they kind of incinerate in just a few seconds or a few minutes. God, everyone's here by grace. Everyone gets their breath and their heartbeat, like I told you, by grace. And God doesn't have to give them the next one. So they better not be coming against God, person of God who has the revelation I'm trying to teach to all of you tonight. Repay no one evil for evil, verse 17. It says, vengeance is mine, verse 19. I will repay, says the Lord. You know what? Over there in Proverbs, it says, don't rejoice when your enemy stumbles, lest God turn His wrath from your enemy and turn it back towards you. We have to have a humble heart. You know, Moses married an Ethiopian woman, a black woman. Well, what bothered his sister Miriam and his brother Aaron was that she was not a Jew. That was huge to them. And so they got mad at him, they got furious at him, and they told him all kinds of bad stuff. In other words, they had their nose in his business, right? And guess what? They both got leprosy. Miriam, who was one of the leaders of Israel, and Aaron, who was one of the leaders of Israel, they both got leprosy. And Moses had to fall on his face in front of God. And he said, Lord, forgive them, Lord. Take that away from them, Lord. They didn't really know what they were doing. They didn't know who they were doing it to. You see, they were doing it to the team of God and Moses. You know? That's what they were doing. Moses, who has the glory shining off his face so brightly that when he reads the word, the commandments to the people, they said, "Would you put a veil over your face?" That's what they said to Moses. Because God's glory was shining on them. And they didn't invent sunglasses back then, you know. So they're having to look at His glory, the God's glory. And so look at verse 21. Verse 12, verse 21. "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Do not be over... Obviously, you know, Jesus never tells you to do anything that's not possible. Right? Like that lesson about the disciples that were told to take the ship across the sea. Jesus said, "Go over there, go over to the other side." That's what Jesus told them about the sea there. Jesus said, "Go over to the other side." Well, and when they got halfway across, He didn't go with them. When they got halfway across, this storm was going to do them in and sink them. And Jesus had to walk out there and He rebuked them. And He said, "Don't you have any faith?" And He took care of them and He solved it and He stilled it. And
they were going to toss Peter in the sea.
No. That was Jonah. But anyway, why did Jesus... Nice try that. Now, why did Jesus rebuke them? Why did He have a right to be angry? Because He told them to go to the other side. And when God says do something, you can do it. And if He did, when God speaks, His word is kind of like a red carpet that's above the ground that's rolling out for you, and you can walk on it above the ground. If that's what God had said, "May a carpet roll out for you," you could walk on it because everything He says is supposed to come to pass. He says, "Let there be light," there's light. Okay, so when He said, "Go take the boat to the other side," that's because Jesus had already seen the other side happening for them. And yet they're losing their faith in the middle. So that's what I did when I read this back when I was really needing to forgive. I was really needing to give things to God, give a tax to God. I read this, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." That's God telling me that. And if God's saying that I can overcome evil with good, then every time, 100% of the time, never failing, I can overcome evil with good. I can overcome evil with good every time, 100% of the time, because God said I could. And if God didn't say it, didn't mean it, He shouldn't have said it. And the Bible, it says God is not a man that He should lie. Men lie. But God doesn't lie. So God said, "You can overcome evil with good." That means I'm going to stand as a righteous man. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 scriptures. And all we covered was 1, 2,
5.
Did we even get that many? We covered three.
Can you give us the rest of the this week?
Would you like that? I could do that. I can make a copy of this. Because you will love these. I would just wish I would get to explain them to you. Briefly, just Genesis 1. God says, "Take dominion." Genesis 1 to Adam and Eve. He says, "Take dominion." Again, you're supposed to be do everything He says you can do. He wouldn't say it if you couldn't complete it. And man without God has done a pretty good job. You know, he went to the moon. He's put all the big beasts in zoos. I mean, you know what I mean? They hunt whales, they kill them. They capture grizzlies. They put little tags on them and move them somewhere else. I mean, man's pretty good at having dominion, you know? He's learned how to kill himself with nuclear weapons. I mean, So without God, man has done somewhat okay. But there's another level of dominion. Because it says there in Genesis, we won't go there, but it says, and take dominion over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And Satan is quite the creep, right? And what Adam did is he didn't listen to that. And he let a creep come in and deceive his wife, which then caused him to fall and rebel. Notice how I said that? The Bible teaches that Eve was deceived and Adam was not. That's what it says in Hebrews. Eve was deceived and Adam was not. That doesn't make Adam smarter, okay? It actually makes Adam more guilty because Adam did something knowingly rebellious when he ate the fruit. Eve was deceived into the sin. And science has even figured this out, why this is. Women think emotionally. Men think with more reason. It actually becomes a trip-up for men when they're trying to get with God, because God's wanting us to put aside our reason. It can be a trip-up for women, too, to think emotionally. Because when they need their reason, sometimes they don't have it, but they have this emotional ability to be really strong. And women, you know what? Women tap into God. And old grandmas, does anyone here ever have a praying grandma? A praying mother? Women, they are better than the fathers and the grandfathers. They have the ability to pray for their grandchildren and their children, and they pray the will of God. But that's that emotional part of the brain that locks in and loves God and then does His service and His will, see? And men are all trapped in their reason. So we have to overcome our reasons. Women have to overcome their emotions. You know what? When you put a man and a woman together, you have the best of both worlds. You have both sides of the brain are covered, you see? There's no inferiority at all. It's all the way God created man and woman to be. But anyway, Adam let a creep in the garden, and so Adam now has to live with the consequences of what he did, and so does his race. And but that was a spiritual thing. Now, I've been talking to you about men coming against, like the lawsuit, that biker that threatened my nephew. I've been talking to you about men. Those men are driven by devils, you see. If someone's going to try to knock you out and take your wallet and your backpack or whatever you're carrying around out there at the river or downtown somewhere, that's devil driven. Person of God is not going to do that to you. That's a devil thing. We have authority against devils. Against demons. See? We can rebuke demons. Do you think there's no demons in the lawsuit I'm facing? There's demons in judges. There's demons in plaintiffs. There's demons in juries. I mean, you can... And did you know you can silence demons that are speaking to your opposition? You can actually silence demons that are speaking to your opposition so that your opposition is confused. Now you have a one-up on your opposition. Yeah, you're going to try that on him, huh, Kathy? No, your spouse is not your opposition. We have to do a part two on this because we left so many scriptures undone. And there's so much more to talk about and teach about it. But we did record it. If you ever want to listen to this online, I'll give you the place to go. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for sharing depth and truth here. And we thank You for what we've learned that we can take into tomorrow and the next day, and maybe something here that was heard will come up in 4 months when somebody needs it. It'll just pop into their mind. They won't remember how they know it, but they'll have this information, Lord. And Lord, we pray over the audience that's listening by the computer and by a CD or a MP3 player. Just bless them and just help them with that situation they're in. Help everyone legally here, Lord, that is facing anything or that has enemies. We squash that any attacks coming against anyone here and anyone in this room that is or listening by this listening recording that has a lawsuit or has a court case, even if they did wrong, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses them from that sin, and then they can get leniency through you, Lord. You can speak to men. We release angels for these people to go into their court cases. We release the Holy Spirit's power. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.